couldn't support that application unless he got what he wanted on B1 and on Trident. And I guess he also referred to the to the Washington ABM site.
I think he, well, I think the way I would, the way I would feel about it, Mr. Offhand, is this. I saw what Mel was trying to do, and I know the way the question would come to you. I think our position should be that we favor the B1, we favor that, and we favor that we think it would be out of our minds not to do the two sites because of the equilibrium and the rest. But I don't think that it makes sense to, and Henry probably asked you that question. So what are your view on the two? I don't think, if you link it like Mel did, you might run into, you might just start a hell of a fight among the voters, which we don't need.
Or you have the Jackson saying, well, hell, let's not ratify it until we see what's going to happen to the
voters. Oh, we can't do that. Ratification's fast.
Now, Jackson was in this morning. And I think that he is weakening it. He makes the good point that over the next term, when you get re-elected, which he says he hopes McGovern gets the nomination.
He really does.
That's what he said. He said McGovern would be an unalloyed disaster for the country.
Good.
He said you...
He is. You see what the son of a bitch said this morning?
McGovern.
Oh, I told you, it's on the war thing, you know, that sort of a line nothing is going to happen to our POWs at all. It's most shocking to see.
Yeah, we've got
our damn wives.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think he makes a correct point that we'll need him more over the next term and can rely on him more than other people are now screaming for it.
That's exactly.
And
I had sentencing yesterday for this big man, the war thing. Isn't that what you're glad to see him call him?
Yeah, look, I've got to call him.
I've got to call him right now. I called him last night before it closed. He almost cried.
No, he's the word for it.
Yeah. Did you get Senator McClellan for me, please? I called him at 7:30, his time. And he said, hello. John, I said, I just wanted to call you before they started counting votes to tell you that we're all for you, win or lose. He said, well, that's awful nice of you, Mr. President. That's all. I said, it's going to be close. You know, I said, win or lose, we're with you. But you know, he said, he's a great guy. Let's get to this.
What Jack said, Jack's concern is that we're going to stampede these treaties so fast through the Senate. That then all these guys are going to unite against the defense budget. He says he's willing to guarantee us that they will pass before the Republican convention. There'll be no filibuster, there'll be no trouble. But if we force their hand by the end of June, then...
Why don't we get through that fast?
Oh, hell, we can't.
No, but that's
his concern.
I'm just quoting him. I hadn't even realized that anyone was trying that, and I talked to McGregor. And he said that he saw no way it could be passed, but he said Maxfield and Fulbright might try that. And therefore he says he'll work with us. He said he wouldn't attach reservations. What he would like to do is get some understandings with the administration, which would be helpful to us.
Legislative work.
Which could be helpful to us, to which you could refer in the next term when you submit your defense budget.
Let's get the bill announced. What Bill should say.
Now,
what are you going to say?
Well, what I would propose to say, subject to the discussion here, is not to establish a direct linkage, but to say we think the treaties are justified in their own right. We believe that the other things are equally justified. That the administration strongly supports both. But I will not establish a direct
linkage. Each is standing on their own feet.
Yeah.
accept. I said, on the other hand, we have to realize that it's only the beginning of a long process. It is a total limitation on defensive missiles. It's only a partial on offensive missiles. And we must now set the stage for the next development. And I told, incidentally, Stennis yesterday that we would have the next round begin in October if this thing began. But I said, in order to set the stage for the next development, we should pass this. Then I said to the Republicans, we welcome a thorough questioning, a thorough examination of this, because we believe that such examination would clearly demonstrate that these agreements are in the interest of the United States. I think we have to avoid. I mean, and this will hurt us to an extent here, but it's the right thing. It's not the right thing. It's responsible. We really can't say this is a better deal for us than it is for them. Okay. It isn't. And they, on their part, have got to avoid that too. The deal is not a better deal for us than it is for them. Frankly, what you really get down to is, and this is where Jackson understands it, and I suppose you made this point, Tim, because I think the leader's strong. I said, look, what you really get down to it here is that we, in the field of offensive weapons, didn't have any cards to play with. We're not going to build any. The Joint Chiefs are flatly against the crash program for the submarine, so we have no cars to play with. We've got to build Elms 59. We have no land-based missile program. We have no new weapon systems except those that were started in the Eisenhower administration. I said, under these circumstances, we are not limiting ourselves in any way that we would not have been limited by what the Congress refused to do. I said, you fellows know that ABM only passed by one vote. You can't talk this way in the testimony, but you can to our the other fellows, the realists. I said, you also know that as far as the defense budget is concerned, it's totally unrealistic to say that we're going to have a $20 billion increase in the defense budget in order to catch the Soviet kingdom. So the offensive limitation one, I think, which is the tough one, everybody wants to hold the defense down. They say, well, isn't that great? But the offensive one, really, well, looking at the defense one, you know there would be a prayer to get through another ABM if we didn't have this agreement. So we're not really giving anything away over there. That's the practical thing. The Russians may be just a little worried that there is. On the offensive side, you and I know there isn't a prayer to get a crash program increasing the defense budget. The pull is all in the other direction, so we're not giving away anything there. So looking to the future, yes, we should be for Holmes, we should be for B-1, we should be for all these other things.
What about NCA? What about NCA? That's tough.
You mean by the way,
I look back on it, and first of all, I mentioned a mistake we made in this planning negotiation.
Well, that's the Joint Chiefs.
And we did it because the Joint Chiefs and Laird gave us a written letter saying that in the context of SALT, he, as a congressional expert, would guarantee that it would go through.
Yeah.
I don't think we missed it. And
I'm not too worried, to be perfectly candid with you.
Well, but if we were going to get it, there was no sense for us going for it.
Because that gave them a next to
it. Then we would have been better off. We could have kept Malmstrom if we had stuck with it. They would have kicked and screamed, but at the last minute they would have yielded. They were dying to get the agreement, but you were in opposition to overrule the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all your other advisors. A mistake in taking position as it shouldn't. I mean, it's not a state problem.
No, but I didn't. Because I never did feel we ought to build that dam. Do you remember the meeting?
Yeah.
You remember? I didn't. I said, why? Who the hell wants
to? But you had this fellow Allison on the delegation. You had Moore.
Yeah.
You had a unanimous consensus, didn't it? Said all of the pressing points.
It never made any sense to me because I didn't think we could get it through. Well, in any event, we can fuss that.
Well, the thing about it, let's just understand here. The thing about it is to say, well, of course we should build one.
Yeah.
Hello.
great.
Well, I never forgot, never will forget the place you were to me when, many years ago. Give my best to your wife.
Drop in the next week to say, you know. was good. And then you'll be followed by...
Well, what we'll do is I'll have a prepared statement we'll all look at. And I'll do that. Lloyd Smith will be with me. And I hope at that time we'll just answer questions. And he won't have a formal statement to answer questions.
So he'll be with you there together.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be with me. Much better.
And then the next day it'll be Laird or...
He's a lousy witness. You know, it's nothing to do with substance, but you'd be a much better witness.
It won't be enthusiastic.
That's the part. He's sort of boring, but you give the testimony and
let him answer technical questions.
Oh, I did that on NPT and worked out all right. That's exactly what I did. And, I think
well, the main thing is this. You can't really like Rutherford and you acknowledge him, you know. Well, if you could, and you're here, you'll be tall, I just need to keep it going.
On television, when Colson calls and wants me on television, sometimes I get conflicting signals.
I don't know whether he wants it.
Whether he wants it, whether you want it, or whether Colson does.
Well, he is a self-starter. But generally speaking, if he calls, what he has done is he's probably not checking with me. He's probably more often checking with Haldeman. Because what we try to do is to be sure that the cabinet officers don't, you know, compete with each other. By today, we have Dick Klein is going to be the president.
I think
that if you're reading on television as an asset, you're going on the press or something.
Well, I want to ask about the issue of answers. He wants me to. Well, sometimes I want to be sure that you understand that you can do it. But hell, I don't want to do anything unless it totally.
It's going to help.
I want it. And sometimes I find myself doing things that are sort of inconsistent with you either. Head of what you plan to do, and I don't know what. I trust that it looks as if I'm trying to do a spotlight or something. Are you going to have a press conference this week?
No. I was thinking of having I'm not planning to have any. I mean, my plan is this. I'm not planning to do anything televised until the end of until just before Congress adjourns. I don't think there's any purpose in it.
You know,
I mean, the Colson, the PR groups, types all. Colson, Scully all thought that I should have a press conference this week on television. But I thought, it seemed to me that with first having some saturation during the Moscow term, having been before 60 million people in the district of return, and then setting the treaty up this week, why the hell do I go on television?
I agree.
I think that we
both go over to it.
Right. So what I plan to do is to do next week, there's a Kennedy plan, next Wednesday or Thursday, I will have in the office a conference on domestic issues And then I will say then that I will, and then I'll do a televised thing the following week, just before taking off, maybe the 28th, that's to be the first. And that seems to me that that's a month returning from Russia, and it's about the right time. Don't you agree? Or do you think we ought to do more?
I also agree that you
should do more. Henry, he'll claim to have a political, but you don't think we should do more.
I think it's a mistake. I didn't do too many.
Oh, I should tell you one other thing. We when I saw Russia the last day, you know, he was with her, we were talking Vietnam. That's why that plenary was delayed. And at the end of the session, he said, I will like to, of course, check with my colleagues. But he said, we have talked to over since our, and I had this, we discussed Vietnam on the dasha that I did a couple of nights before that. He said, we will send Podgorny to Hanoi on a secret mission to present we of course want it to go. We make it here without any high hopes, but at least some. Because, and while he's there, of course, we have it in place. So that's our problem. But I thought you should know about here that we haven't hit it. That's the reason.
That damn general is going to cause you a lot of trouble, that Lavelle. But
what the hell is that all about? Who is Lavelle?
What happened was,
is he being made a go? If he is, I don't. It's not good. I don't believe.
Well, what happened was that during March, he apparently interpreted protective reaction orders very liberally, put it mildly, and sometimes initiated attacks. And when Laird found out about it, he removed him. And
Laird removed him?
Laird removed him in April, early April, without telling us until he'd already done it. So now he's the fellow at the Court of Congressional Committee.
Can you miss?
He admits that he launched 23 unauthorized attacks. And of course, that knocks into the head our argument that all during March we restrained ourselves.
Plus the fact that this young sergeant has written to some senator saying that he was advised to fabricate the reports, which is going to be difficult for him.
Well, I just think you haven't made a go, though, with the. I don't know Lavelle.
I don't know Lavelle either.
Are we making him a goat? Do you think so?
Well, I think it was escalated to a level where he's doing us more damage out of the service than he would have done if it had been handled more.
He also indicated that Abrams knew about it, or suggested that Abrams knew about it, which is embarrassing.
He probably did. Well, they were in Turkey. But now on the telephone thing, let me say that generally speaking, though, that if you ever have any doubts, give Haldeman a call, too, because you know, they're just anxious to get our case out. But as far as anything I do with this, I will do nothing in the foreign field until the week Congress adjourns. I think it's well to let the... I want the treaty to arrive next week, and I want that to be the news, and I don't want to get in the middle of it and see. So if you could go Monday or... And that's exactly, I'm not so sure, to be perfectly frank with you, that a press conference is not better than issues and answers. Issues and answers has a limited audience. It's true, it's a couple of million, maybe a million and a half. That's good, and you get a good press story out of it. A press conference, you get on the evening news with a couple of minutes. But wait, but in a sense, your appearance before the Senate, you get a million and the evening news.
But a press conference is really, I think, better. I don't think much of issues and answers.
Don't do issues and answers. My own view is this. I wouldn't bother with issues and with issues and answers if you think it is in any way going to take your time away from the more important appearance before the Congress or the Senate. The other thing, but I do think that you ought to, but a press conference is good. Any press conference is good because you get the evening news. So when you talk to Colson, See, the reason he asked to go on issues and answers, we get the networks ask us, you know, they have to give us the equal time, and the Democrats are on because they're all competing with each other. And so we just thought this is a good week, and he's right.
Sometimes even have programs that work, so John Mitchell was on Sunday night, watched him, and I thought he did well. Except he was
Which that'll come, I want to talk to him about that LaBelle thing. I didn't know it was going to come up this morning. I was going to do that.
I spoke with Edwin Fyre, President of
the United
Well, actually, you know, just looking analytically, I really took quite a drawing card for these guys. They have 1,500 people there, 1,600 It was just north of Baltimore and Calgary. Tremendous turnout. I sort of shouted him a little bit. I said, I never talk at political dinners. But when I was invited, I looked up at voting record. When I saw it, I knew this had to be a bipartisan affair. That I brought the house up.
That's a terrific thing. That's a terrific crack. Put that down, use it for Percy. That's a terrific crack. You knew it was a bipartisan affair.
I have said it when he invited me to speak because I never come to partisan.
Partisan? Oh, that's the best crack of the year.
I laughed and got up and started applauding.
Isn't that something? Isn't that
and something? He didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Well, isn't that something? Well, you did a great favor to him, Henry. A great favor to him.
And then I
said, that the reason that that was done is that, that Mr. McGregor got him on Kleindienst. That's what it was. I knew there had to be a McGregor. It's not about that government put you in a place like that.
Oh, I think I could do some good. I ignored Matthias completely. I spoke about your foreign policy. And I said, everyone is talking about Vietnam. I got a tremendous ovation there, too, by, in fact, using your line. I said, we can settle Vietnam. We don't have to go to Hanoi and mention McGovern. I said, to accept their terms, we can do it in Paris. We don't even have to do that in Hanoi. What? Why has the president suffered one sentence, but I got a tremendous ovation at the end.